From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Last week, the Alaska Board of Fisheries voted down a proposal that was supported by both the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and fishermen. It would have created the possibility of holding a limited red king crab fishery in a region that hasn't seen an opening in years. KFSK's Angela Denning reports from Petersburg.
There's been only one red king crab fishery in the last decade in Southeast. That's because the state's estimations of crab stocks have repeatedly fallen short of the 200,000 pounds threshold. The board was asked to consider a proposal that would split a limited harvest among permit holders when estimates were too low for a regular competitive fishery. The proposal was written together by state managers and industry groups through several meetings. Andrew Olson coordinates the state's crab management in Southeast. He presented the proposal to the board, saying it would allow for a limited harvest and give managers crab data they need. He said they could limit the fishery to areas where they don't survey.
We have no stock assessment survey in those non-surveyed areas and allow us to see where other populations of red king crab and blue king crab are to get more informed on what the fishermen are seeing out in the field, and then we can integrate that into our stock assessment model to be more informed.
Fishermen have repeatedly said there are more red king crab than managers are estimating. The proposal could have allowed fishing if the estimate of legal male crab was at least 50% of average. If the harvest level was above 200,000 pounds, management would return to a competitive fishery. The proposal would have expired in 3 years unless renewed by the board. The price of red king crab has gone up in recent years, and fishermen say it's worth fishing for a small set harvest. The last opening paid over $10 per pound. Max Warhatch is a fisherman from Petersburg.
I think it's a good idea to do this. It's going to give some economic activity, and it'll be warranted. It's a slow fishery. It shouldn't do any harm.
The current management plan has different harvest goals for different areas, and fishermen can choose where they want to go. Fish and Game's Olson told the board it's hard to manage that way because of the bays and inlets that make up Southeast.
The fishery goes very fast. Our past fisheries in those survey areas have been 24 hours, which makes it very fast. So at a lower level, to slow it down, equal quota share would allow us to manage more effectively and precise by being able to have that tool in place.
In a subsequent interview with KFSK, Kathy Hansen, executive director of the Southeast Alaska Fishermen's Alliance, said using the term equal quota shares was a mistake. It shouldn't have been used in deliberations between the state and the board, and it was also written into the final draft of the proposal.
By calling it an equal quota share, that brings the thought of it being more a property right and a guarantee to a harvest. And that was not what the department and industry were working together on.
She said the proposal combined managing the fishery while giving opportunity to the fishermen. But the incorrect terminology stuck with board members. Board member Israel Payton of Wasilla spoke against the idea of quota shares like those used in federal managed halibut fisheries.
I think the board is defaulting, turning some of these fisheries into basically setting policy and turning them into a quasi-IFQ fishery.
Board member Jared Godfrey of Eagle River spoke in favor of a free market and against quota shares in general.
I personally believe in the spirit of competition and not necessarily the egalitarian approach of let's just equalize it.
The proposal ultimately died with a 2-3 vote. One Board of Fish member, John Jensen of Petersburg, recused himself, and one board seat is vacant. Fishermen's Alliance Kathy Hansen said they'll plan to bring up the proposal again at the board's next Southeast meeting in 3 years, using different wording. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Alaska's Board of Fisheries agreed on Sunday to a compromise for king salmon in Southeast that would leave sport fishing bag limits unchanged throughout the season. It's an attempt to balance the needs of charter fishing businesses with the commercial troll fleet while setting a priority for resident anglers. Joe Bicknicki has this report.
At issue is a new provision of the 2019 Pacific Salmon Treaty Agreement requiring Alaska to pay back the following year when the commercial and sport fleets catch more king salmon than they've been allocated. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has used in-season management to stay below that number, and that's meant reducing the resident bag limit on sport-caught kings over the summer and even prohibiting non-residents from keeping them at all. Charter and lodge operators said clients book their trips well in advance and want to be able to keep a king. Many, like Ketchikan Charter Fishing Captain Jeff Wedekind, asked the board for a new approach to keeping Alaska's harvest on target.
And if we have an allocation that doesn't even allow us to fish or closes us down in the middle, then we can't run our businesses. People aren't going to come.
Lodge and charter businesses said their packages are based on a minimum of 3 days of fishing with the opportunity to catch a king on all 3 days. Alaska's annual share of king salmon is split 80% and 20% between commercial trollers and sport anglers. That number changes from year to year based on abundance of kings in the previous winter's troll fishery. To keep bag limits stable, the charter industry proposed a higher sport percentage when king numbers are down and a lower percentage in times of abundance, but still meeting that 80-20 split over time. That idea didn't go over very well.
The sport charter sector is now making the claim that they, of all harvesting groups, should not be held to the agreement they themselves helped negotiate. Where does this elitist sense of entitlement end?
That's Alaska Trollers Association President Matt Donahoe of Sitka. Alaska has seen reductions in its catch under the treaty negotiated between U.S. states and British Columbia. Sport and commercial fleets catch a mix of Chinook, but the bulk of those come from rivers in B.C., Washington, and Oregon. Since 2018, some local runs have been listed as stocks of concern because of low numbers. That's meant sport fishing closures throughout the inside waters and closed area and time for commercial fishing. But there was an opening for compromise. Prior to the meeting, the Trollers Association and sport fishing group, the Territorial Sportsmen, issued a joint statement asking for a resident preference in king salmon management. Larry Edfeld of Juneau represented the Territorial Sportsmen.
As you have heard, the major threat to the resident king salmon sport fishery is the non-resident sport fishery in outside waters. The non-resident fleet now takes two-thirds or more of the sport Chinook quota, and its catching power is so great that it could take the entire sport quota before the end of June, thus closing both the resident and non-resident Chinook fishery for the entire summer.
The board had proposals seeking to close or reduce non-resident sport fishing to ensure it stays open for residents. Another sought to direct any unused fish in late summer to the commercial fleet, and fishery managers submitted proposals seeking direction from the board on in-season management, payback of overages, a resident priority, and a long-term average for the sport troll split. Ultimately, stakeholders hammered out a compromise that maintains the current split but won't lead to in-season closures. Non-residents will still see annual limits drop in summertime. Residents will have a higher bag limit than non-residents, and uncaught kings later in the summer could go to commercial trollers. The commercial troll season in late summer ends up acting as a buffer. If the sport fishery goes over its allocation, the department can cut back time for commercial fishing. But if Alaska hasn't reached its all-gear catch by that time, the department can provide more time for the commercial fleet to make up the difference. If the combined catch exceeds Alaska's share, the overage will be paid back the following year by subtracting it from the total. That's regardless of which gear group was responsible for going over. Board member Jared Godfrey of Eagle River thanked the stakeholders for arriving at a compromise.
I know this was very complicated, very difficult to navigate, especially for me, not participating in the fishery in any capacity. So I really appreciate the effort and the stick-to-itiveness to get there. I know it's a difficult lift, and I really appreciate the time and contribution everybody did in good faith. It makes our life a lot easier. I was happy to sit here in silence rather than deliberating a bunch of proposals that a lot of people weren't going to like the votes on, most likely. Thank you.
The board voted 5-0 to approve that compromise language, with John Jensen of Petersburg sitting out the vote. The management plan is region-wide. However, conservation measures for those salmon stocks of concern are still expected. But on a positive note, based on winter troll catch rates, Alaska's share of kings is actually up this year. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vignicki.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
The Alaskan airwaves have lost a bright voice. Public radio stalwart Jay Barrett passed over the bar last Thursday in Homer, Alaska. Jay was raised in Dillingham and never seemed to shake his affinity for fishy rural places like Dillingham and Homer and Kenai and Kodiak, where he hosted and produced the Alaska Fisheries Report for over a decade here at KMXT. The program was a perennial award winner during his tenure. Jay's talent for digging into complex stories served him well, as did his readiness to cast a net across the network to highlight reporting done by his peers. To say that his work has been a personal inspiration is an understatement. His reporting was always sharp and incisive, but yet with a hint of wry humor. You could hear it in his voice, a wink and a nod, a sense that there was more to the story, and Jay would be telling you about it next time. Thank you, Jay Barrett. Fair winds and following seas on your next journey. I leave you with this reminder from him.
If you're buying crab or any kind of seafood out of a nail salon, you can bet that it's not legal. And that's all for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report from KMXT in Kodiak. I'm Jay Barrett saying,
well, thank you. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Elvis has left the building. He has left the building. He left the stage and went out the back with the policeman, and he is now gone from the building.